Gassaway, West Virginia today. Jesus is alive and well, and man, you can feel the presence of the Lord here today. Jesus, we thank you for the Spirit of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, because it brings freedom, and we are free in the name of Jesus, and we glorify you and praise you. We pray for all the ones that are watching this morning, Jesus, that you'll just minister to them through these songs and through the Word of God today, and we give you thanks, and we give you praise, and we give you honor in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The title of this sermon is entitled, It's Time. It's Time. And this title came from an experience that I had this week with a pastor friend of mine, Bishop Williams, out of Hurricane. And I ran into him at Kroger down in Taze Valley this past week. And he and I, that's the only place we ever see each other, is at the grocery store. And man, I tell you what, we got up to each other, and we, you know how the social distancing is, what, 6 feet, and he comes up and hugs me, and I hug him, and it's just awesome how we were able to have fellowship. And he looked at me, and he told me this. He said, the coronavirus is not for the church. He said, but it's for the world. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, it's not for the church. He said, it is for the world. God is fixing to return, and Jesus is going to split the clouds of glory real soon. By the way things are happening, it could be sooner than we can expect. One person said they thought this was the beginning of the tribulation. But here's what we're dealing with. We are dealing with not the church, but the world. I was walking through town just the other day, and a person waved at me, and we were talking, and he was dressed head to toe, gloves and a mask and all this stuff, and I said, what are you dressed up like that for? You know, like, here I am, you dummy. It's like, you should know why people are dressed like that. But my life hasn't changed, and I'm still living the same way and doing the same thing that I always have, but the coronavirus is not for the church, but it's for the world. It's to get the attention of the world to draw people to Jesus. That's what the purpose of this thing is. This thing is, but here's the problem. People are scared. They're scared, and we just want to give you peace today. We're all in the same boat together. Here's the problem. The world, it's okay for the world to be scared, but for the church to be scared, the first half of my sermon is beating up on the church, and the second half is leading you to Jesus, so bear with me. But here's the thing. I'm hearing so many testimonies of people that have been on the way. Maybe they've been in the way for 30 years, but they've been on the way for 30 years, and they're afraid because the enemy has gone boo. But do you think, just like Jacob said today, do you think that this thing shakes God? Do you think that this thing even, do you think he has upped his anxiety medicine? Do you think that he's worried and he's wringing his hands over this thing? And see, what you have to understand is God has it all under control. My concern is the way the church has acted through this process, to where the church, and I'm not talking about the Pulse Church, I'm talking about the Universal Church, because I believe that the Pulse Church, probably 80% of the Pulse Church is faith-based. I'd say 80% of you all are by faith and you believe that God's going to do things, but then 20% of you, you don't truly have that relationship with God, and so therefore you don't trust Him. You're trusting what you're hearing in the media, and you're trusting what you're seeing on Facebook, and you're trusting all these things. Let me tell you something. We all have to be faith-based because of where we are in the world. What are we going to do, church, when things really get bad? We think this is bad. We have electricity. We have a grocery store that's open. We have gas in our car. And I was laughing the other day. I said, what we need is a, and Jacob, hold your ears here, but I said, what we need here to top this whole thing off is a big snowstorm. I said, that'll really make things really fun. But, you know, we have electric and we have all this. And you know, we're thankful for where we are and for what God is doing in our lives. And, you know, I was able to walk through our community the other day with my wife and our daughter and granddaughter and just walk through. It was a beautiful day. So let me tell you something. God is on the throne. He is alive and well, and the devil is defeated. He's defeated no matter what. He is defeated. So, but what God is doing through this situation is he's bringing people. He's getting people's attention. He's shaking the world right now to get their attention. Who in the world ever heard of an earthquake in Utah? I mean, an earthquake in Utah. You never hear of an earthquake in Utah. But there are things that are going to, there are borders that are sealed. People can't come across the lines into the United States right now. People have told me, they've said, you know, I'm 80 years old. I've never seen anything like this. I'm 51. I've never seen anything like this. But we cannot be shaken because his redemption draweth nigh. The question is, and this is how I think we are sometimes, Sandy, in our lives, we'll let God handle what we can't. But when it gets too bad, we'll turn it over to him. I'll give you, God, what I think that you can handle, and I'll handle the rest because I'm in control. I have got this. Everything's good. But I'll only use you, God, when it gets too tough, and then that's when I'll bring you into the picture. Let me tell you something. We need God in the picture. I was listening to Christ Temple, Pastor Chuck Lawrence. Pastor Chuck Lawrence is a wonderful man of God, and we've spent many hours in the studio together, him producing some things that we did back in our early days of ministry. And Pastor Chuck has been battling cancer. Big church in Huntington. Jesse Duplantis is getting ready to be there. Todd White is getting ready to be there. And a wonderful man, and a young man. And been really struggling, and so he put a post out yesterday that his daughter had had a baby at 26 weeks, I believe, and it didn't make it. And so not only battling cancer, but then a daughter, him losing a grandchild on top of that. Let me tell you something, church. You got to understand something that, and I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. If you are going to matter for the kingdom of God, you're going to have to go through a battle. You're going to go through struggles. You're going to go through heartaches. You're going to go through different things. But at the end of the day, it's worth it. And you say, well, how can it be worth it? Let me tell you something. Sometimes things just happen. Sometimes things happen and there's no, you have no answer. Pastor Wright told me one time, Davy Joe Hissom, pastor New Life Mountain down in Charleston, had a flourishing ministry. I mean, God was just doing great things. They had satellite dishes on in the yard, and he was nationwide and doing great things. And so he goes to look at a piece of property up in Ohio, and the plane that he's in crashes. Sometimes, I remember that. It's back years ago, but I remember that. And sometimes you have to take things and you have to put them up on a shelf because you don't have an answer for it. It's just the way it happens. I don't know if a lot of people in the church believe that fear is not from God, but faith is. It doesn't say fear is the substance of things hoped for. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what we have to do is we have to be real careful. Let me give you a scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of that this week. For God hath given us, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that means no matter what you're hearing on television, no matter what you're hearing, you can still maintain a sound mind. Because you have to understand the media. I don't know if any of you listened to the governor's speech yesterday. if that's what you call it. The questions that the reporters asked before the speech was so insane. Asking Sheriff Rutherford, do you think that this? It's a no-brainer, yes. But they're asking such severe, dumb questions about these things. And yes, we know how people are thinking. We know how people are feeling. But see, you have to understand the media side. They are driven by fear. And if you ever notice in the media that if there is tears or if there is a wreck, it's the first story out. They do that on purpose to keep you in tune. And then they share that fun-filled story at the very end, and then they say goodnight. You shouldn't watch the news before you go to bed. Some of you probably can't sleep because of it. But you know, just that are people that are watching. But what you have to understand is God is faithful. And he has not given you the spirit of fear. You say, but I'm supposed to be fearful of this. I'm supposed to be fearful. No. This is the time for the church to shine. Because he's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then in Isaiah 26:3, I was talking to Pastor Jay from our Winfield campus this week in a text. And I was preaching, buddy. I was preaching to him, and I was preaching to all kinds of people. And I said, Isaiah 26:3, and he stopped me, and he says, I'm preaching on that Sunday. I didn't know that he was preaching on that Sunday. And Isaiah 26:3 in the King James Version, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, it goes back, these two are a comparison to one another. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Let me tell you something. The enemy will try to drag your mind through the miry muck of the world. He will try to keep you off of God. And when we start talking about things that are wrong more than we're talking about God, when we're talking about more of the mountain than we're talking about the mountain mover, then we are not giving God praise, but we're giving the storm the glory. We have to be real careful in not doing that. The NIV of Isaiah 26:3 says, he says, but you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because thou trust in you. Here's the thing. Ask yourself this question, those that are watching online, those that are here in the sanctuary. Do you really trust God? Well, I trust him when things are good. I trust him when there's money in the bank. I trust him when there's no family emergency, and I trust him when the church is doing fine. I trust him all through those times, but I don't know. When things get a little rough and the storm comes a little bit, you know, I've always heard that you're starting a storm, you're in the middle of a storm, or you're getting out of a storm. And let me tell you something. What we have to understand is we have to be ready in the middle of the storm. We have to be ready at the beginning of the storm and after the storm. Because you have to go through things to mature your walk with Jesus. Are you with me? And that's hard. The things that I've gone through in my life, the things that you have gone through in your life, let me tell you something. The reason why you go through those things is to mature you in your walk. If you'll not waste it. If you don't waste the battle. If you don't waste the burden. But learn from it, because it's only going to take you from glory to glory to glory. The question is, so what is your mind thinking about? Are you in terror? Are you talking more about what's going on in the world versus talking about Jesus and what he's doing in our lives? as we switch gears to this, I want to give you something to think about. I don't want you to not be informed of what's going on in the world. We need to be informed of what's going on in the world. I mean, Christy will ask me when she's getting ready for work, she'll say, "What's the weather going to be today?" And I'll say, "Hey, Siri." Mine just kicked on right there. "How you doing?" Is that what you do? I'll say, "Hey, Siri, what's the weather for today?" And then she'll tell me. We need to be informed. And we also don't want to walk around in denial either. We don't want to walk around in denial to think that things aren't tough in people's lives right now, and to think that, you know, we're in a pandemic. I remember when I was at the bank, they laid out this pandemic thing for us, this report years ago, and we thought, we just kind of blew it off and thought, we won't ever have to worry about that. But then it happens. He wants us to be informed. He doesn't want us to be in denial, but we also need to know what God is doing. Now, if you're not in this world, and I wrote this question down, if you are not of this world because you are a Christian, then what are you worried about? Because the Scripture teaches us, in John chapter 17:16, he says, "We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land of our adversaries, where before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. Life is like a vapor." But church, we have to understand, and thank God, John Sandy, this is not our home. Just like that old Southern gospel song, "This is not my home, I'm just passing through." But we are so intrigued to stay here. We're so intrigued. We don't want to, it's like we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to die to get there. It is. It's just so true. So because of what is going on in the world, it's not for the church. As I shift gears here, it's not for the church. This is for the world. We referenced Christ Temple Church just a few minutes ago. Another pastor buddy of mine and used to be our neighbor, Harold Landers. Christy ran into him at the grocery store yesterday. I see him throughout town a couple times. He got to speak at Christ Temple last week. And just a wonderful man of God. And he was telling Christy, he told her the same thing. He said, "Well, this is not for the church. This is for the world. God is trying to get your attention." I'm talking about the world. He's trying to get your attention. Yes, sir. The world is in the church. And that's what's unfortunate, is that let me tell you something. Do not wear your Pulse shirt if you are fearful of this thing. Because I haven't taught you to be that way. And God's Word has not taught you to be that way. It's time for the church to be there for the world. A person received a phone call the other day. This person received a phone call and was in a horrible relationship. And this person wanted to make that relationship right, because this person did not want to go to hell because of what this person was doing in that relationship. The phone calls are coming in, church. The world is getting the idea. Things are winding down. I don't know if you realize this or not, but things are truly winding down. It's time to help the world to learn about Jesus. If the church is not telling the world about Jesus, then who is going to do it? Because hell expands on a regular basis. They continue to expand hell. And the reason why is because sometimes we're losing people to the devil because, and they're friends that we know, but we're not sharing Jesus with them. Because we just assume. Those that are home right now, after I get done with this sermon, you should go knock on your door's neighbor and witness to them about Jesus. You say, well, why would I do that? Because they're going to hell. Doesn't matter. And that's what we need to do, is we need to get to a place where it matters. If the church is not telling people about Jesus, then who is going to do it? Who's going to tell people about Jesus? We all have people that are going to split hell wide open, so to speak, but are we doing anything about it? We shouldn't be afraid of this virus. We should do exactly what we've been taught, you know, to wash your hands and to sanitize and all these things and to do all that like you're supposed to and you know, and be careful. I mean, the way I was raised, if you're sick, you stay home. But people are so afraid. You know, I talked to a lady here in town the other day. And I'm going by what she told me. She said, when you look up corona in the Hebrew, when you look up the word corona in the Hebrew, it means crown. Isn't that amazing? Who wore a crown at the cross? Who's the king? Jesus. Then you look at the fact is that there's a certain temperature that the coronavirus can't live, and it's a hot temperature, and it doesn't like the sun. It doesn't like the S-O-N or the S-U-N. Are you with me? Do you see God all over this thing to the fact is that he is trying to get the world's attention? He's allowed. Nothing goes by God. Do you think this was a surprise for him? No. He allowed it to happen. It's not a secret. It didn't sniff by heaven because they were taking a nap on a Tuesday afternoon. No. He's allowing the world to get shook up a little bit to bring him back to Jesus. Because he's tried everything. He's tried it. I mean, he's tried it. Psalm 91, 1 through 16. When you look down at verse 9, it says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall me, no plague shall come near my dwelling. So what does verse 10 mean? Let's dissect it here. During the duratio, you know, there's been several things that have happened in my lifetime that have been kind of tough. One was 9/11. That was very tough. The derecho was tough. The water crisis, although it didn't affect us in Putnam County, the water crisis was tough. And now the coronavirus. Those have been four things that have been tough that we have gone through, that we didn't go through Pearl Harbor or like the early generation, Pearl Harbor and World War I and World War II, but we are going through our own battles in today's society. But during the derecho, I remember the Stout family. I remember Megan and saying that, what, tree limbs and all this stuff was blowing all around you and you all were praying in the car, Psalm 91. Here's the key to Psalm 91. You either believe it or you don't. I mean, church, you either believe it or you don't. You cannot, church, and let me help you here, lean not on your own understanding. You can't lean on your own understanding through this thing. You're saying, well, it's not natural for you not to be fearful. Why should I be fearful when the Bible tells me not to be fearful? If the Bible tells us not to be fearful, then what? You're not supposed to be fearful. And if he tells us that he will protect us from any plague to come by our dwelling, here's the thing, do you believe it? I do. I believe the word of God from the first page to the book of maps. I believe it all the way through. But the thing about that you have to understand is, do you believe it? Well, Pastor, I only believe it when things are going good. See, what he is trying to teach you is to trust him when things are good and when things are bad. He says, no evil shall befall, it says, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. That what he's saying there is evil does not have permission to invade you. It only invades you because you open the door for it to come in. And no plague shall come near thy dwelling. Look up and dissect the word plague. It falls in line with so many different things. So the key is do you believe that the coronavirus is a plague? You say, no, it's a virus, not a plague. You're missing the point. The point is, no plague will come by my dwelling. I believe that. And I challenge you to where you could either believe it or you don't. You say, well, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, you know how you get that kind of faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many people today watching by way of internet or in the house today have read your Bible this week? And let me tell you something, that is where your faith is increased. It has to be. That's the way for it to be, is increased through our faith. Here is what the church should be doing now. Mark chapter 16, 15 through 18. This is what the church should be doing. Now, I told Christy 2 weeks ago when this thing started hitting. I said, well, you're going to see a lot of preachers on Facebook and YouTube talking about Psalm 91, and you're protected, and this kind of thing, which was good, and it's right, and that's exactly what we should do. If you notice, I'm not putting messages out there on Facebook. And I'm not saying it's wrong for people to, but, I mean, I've heard so many messages on this thing from pastors and different things. And I mean, what else could you say about it? But when you look at the scripture, this is what the church should be doing. And this is what I told Christy. I said, now what's going to happen? I said, that's going to be the first week. I said, then the second week, you're going to start hearing that it's the end times and we're going through this and it's Armageddon or it's all this kind of thing, which is exactly where it's went. It's the second phase of this thing. Now, the third phase is this. Then this is where I believe that we are going to get, once people are not afraid to go out and be a part of things, if we strike while the iron is hot, here is what we need to be doing. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's Mark 16, 15 through 18. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. So examine your heart right now. How many people do you know right now, if they died, they're condemned? You can change their destiny. We have the ability through the Holy Ghost to change people's destiny from hell to heaven. Do you believe that? A few? We can change people's destiny. How do we do that? And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. In my name, they will speak in new tongues. Verse 18 says, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and they shall drink any deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they might recover. They will recover. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I'm kind of stuck on verse 17 right now. Mark 16, 17 says, and these signs will follow those who believe. These signs, what are the signs? I just read them to you. The signs are, pray for the sick and they recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. If you pick up a serpent, it won't get you. And I'm not recommending you to go do those things. But back in those days, you've got to understand, this was pretty tough stuff when Paul can take a serpent and shake it off in the fire. And then can we do that today? Do we have that kind of faith? We should. He says, these signs will accompany those who believe. Casting out devils. Somebody was telling me a story that happened at church camp when they were a counselor at a church camp, that there was this one child that was acting like all the rest of them until the end of the week. And let me tell you something. Demon possession is real. I've dealt with it. I've seen it. In prayer lines, I've seen it to where I've seen people fall. I've seen them throw up. I've seen them swing and rinse their clothes. I mean, I've seen them. I kind of miss that. You say, well, you're nuts. I miss that. You know why? Because when they came up front for prayer, they were bound when they came up front. And they were loosed when they left because of the power of Jesus Christ. Those things will accompany those who believe. So the question is I'm not hearing a lot of that kind of thing going on. So I'm trying to think, do we really believe? Do we really believe? You say, well, I'm not called to cast out devils. You're not called to believe? Because here's what it says here. It says, whoever believes. And he says, and these signs will accompany you. I'm not telling you to go running from it, but don't be afraid of it. Four of us were in the Waffle Hut the other night. It was Bethany and Emmett and Kara Johnson and myself. We all, after worship rehearsal, we went to have dinner, and we were sitting there talking, and the waitress, we shut the place down, and the waitress had come up to us and said, well, what church are you all from? Well, there you go. Yeah. And Kara actually had one of our business cards in her purse way down deep. I mean, it was kind of ugly. She had to, like, dig way, you know, purses. You know, it's like way down in the bottom. But, you know, she got it out, and I know she's probably watching. And carries. Emmett said she carries everything, Kara. I just want you to know, except the kitchen sink. You know, you're not here to defend yourself. Wait a minute. I think she's walking in the door now. And so she hands her one of those cards. Well, and here's what's so cool about it. As I looked at her, and I've never met this woman. I never met her before. And I told her, I said, you're having trouble with your back, and and your legs. I said, tell me what's going on there. And she said, oh, she says, I have lupus. God will witness in your heart. He's worked with me for years over things like that. He will witness things in your heart about people that you could go up and share with them. And do it in such love. I mean, it was done under humility, and it wasn't, she has lupus. I didn't say anything like that. We were the only ones there. And I asked her, I said, can we pray for you? That God would heal you. And we all four gathered around her, and she was behind the counter, and we laid hands on her and prayed for her, that God would heal her body. See, that's what we're to do. That's what we're called to do. Because these signs will accompany those that believe. These signs will follow those who believe. So what I believe will take place, the next phase of this thing, as people get better, as people get sick, there'll be more that will get sick. You say, well, don't be negative. No, it's got to, God has this. Okay, but you have to understand something, is that when this thing is said and done, the church is only going to be able to give praise to Jesus because we know he did it. We can't take credit for ourselves because we have to know that it's Jesus, and we want to give him all the praise. The Bible tells us in the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Look behind you. You should have goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. God wants you to be blessed. He doesn't want you to be cursed. See, here's what we forget. And I'm going to blow your mind with this thing. But what happens in our lives is, how many times are you praying about your needs? You don't have to pray about your needs. Let me tell you why. He said that he shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. So that's already covered. You don't have to cover your needs. It's already covered. What you have to talk about is your wants and what you want God to do. Your needs are already covered. But see, what happens so many times is we are wearing out God with things that he's already done. You know, God told me the other day, I was praying and said, God, fill up the daycare. Bring them in. And you know what he told me? He says, you already asked. He said, start thanking me. Yeah. Talking about it. I remember I had a principal one time to wear you out. God took the paddle. He wore me out with it. I said, okay, God, thank you, Jesus, for filling up the daycare. Thank you for bringing in the kids. Thank you, because I've already asked. See, we wear out God with the need. But he's already met the need. Yeah. He's already met the need. If you take the word of God literally like I do, and like I've preached to you today, God will keep you healthy. God will keep you well. God will keep you whole. And you plead the blood of Jesus over you and your family, and you apply the blood of Jesus over you and your family, and God will honor his word. Because all you have to do is believe. Oh, I hope you're getting it. I hope you're getting it. So the next phase, people come into Jesus because they don't want to go to hell. Once they get better, once they get rescued through it. You know, there's a song, Andy, I don't know if you can find it, but it's I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. You ever remember that one? If you type it in there, it'll pull up. Yeah, it's just type it in Google. I think it's called Rescue. I think it is. But anyway, it's a great song. And it's a perfect song for us right now. But the thought process behind this is to obey God and to believe and to start winning souls for him. It's not hard. The Bible says to believe and be baptized. That's what we just read there. You know, just believe in him. But that's the next step. And I pray, God, that people will come into the churches. And I'm not saying just the Pulse locations, but I'm talking about to the churches. But that we would get ready, that we would get ready, we would get ready for souls to come into the kingdom. You know why? We've been praying about that. We've been praying for God to send them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We didn't know we had to go through a coronavirus to get people into the kingdom of God. But, and we don't want people to come into God, into the kingdom because they're scared. But if they are scared, they don't want to go to hell, then we'll take them. Bring them in, Jesus. Bring them into the kingdom. Help us to be ready. Help us to be ready for them, Jesus. We apply the blood and plead the blood of Jesus over us. And we give you praise and we give you honor for it. Because it is in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we glorify you. If you're lost and you're watching online today, we want you to accept Jesus. And if you're scared, take those scriptures, back it up and go back into what I read to you today. Those scriptures, the principles of it are good when things are good and when things are bad. Those scriptures work and they will help you through the process. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to live your life, but to live your life into fullest for Jesus, not for the devil. If you're not living for Jesus, if you're not saved, then you're living for the devil, and you're wasting your life because he is not going to give you anything because his job is to lie and to kill and to destroy you. That's what his job is. You say, no, he's not going to do me that way. He will lie and kill and destroy you. Read it. It's in there. God wants to do big things with you. So just ask him. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And start going to a Bible-believing church. Get involved in a church. Start reading your Bible. Go into the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can look them up in the index if you don't know. And it's not, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But, you know, if you don't know where they are, go into the index. That's why it's there. And start to read the four Gospels and get involved. Because God wants to do big things with you. If you've been saved today and you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, you know, just send us a message on, and we'll be praying for you and asking God to help you through the process of anything that we can do for you. We appreciate that. We'd be glad to do that in Jesus' name. I want to also tell you, you know, due to what's going on, these are some of the toughest decisions for pastors right now that we have to make, is due to the fact is that this is uncharted territory for us. And we're not, you know, we're just trying to hear from God. And the Pulse churches, we want to be obedient to our leadership and to our president, to our governor, when he's asking people to keep it under 10 people and to try to stay home as much as you can. You know, we're trying to be obedient as much as we can with that. But yet, you know, we have to do what God is saying. So it's a very tough thing. So thank you for those that have stayed home today and watched online. But I will tell you this, that we continue to have opportunities for you to give. If you attend this church and you normally tithe today, then what I encourage you to do is those that are here can tithe. We can still do that, but I encourage you, because the bills continue to go and we still have to pay the bills, but we want you to tithe because that's what God has called us to do. It's part of worship. And so as a part of worship, you can, if you're not going to be here for a little while, you can mail your check to P.O. Box 141 Gasaway, P.O. Box 141 Gasaway. You can text your tithe, go to our Facebook, the instructions are there, it's safe. You could go to our website, thepulsewv.com, and go to the bottom of the page where it says give. You can give through PayPal. So there's three different ways that you could give. So you can mail a check to P.O. Box 141, or give by way of the internet, or text your tithe, and that will continue to help through this process. And we love you. Oh, we love you, and we're so glad that you joined in today and you were here. The worship was wonderful. You all did such a wonderful job. Felt the presence of God here today. And we're just so thankful. God, we just praise you. We praise you, God, for meeting every need. We thank you, God, for meeting needs in the homes of the that we're in right now. Father, Lord, we just pray that you use this sermon, use this church, Father, to draw people to you in this community. And Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise and we give you honor for it because it is in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. Did you find that? We'll play this song as we leave today, and we love you and we thank you for watching today in Jesus' name.
Source of a life I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus.
Get ready to leave. Can we just gather around the altar and pray? Pray for our community. Pray for the church. Pray this virus dies in Jesus' name. Nothing for me.
this world has nothing for me. Sing, I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. Sing, I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. Won't you capture me with grace? I need you, Jesus, come to my rescue.
Presence of the Lord moving still. There's a song that we sang many years ago. I don't even